Well, Gene kind of got us started this morning. We're going to be a little bit of a testimony there, and that's good. That's good. Because that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit this morning, is testimonies. Yeah. So that's going to, in a way, kind of going to get me off the hook. I'm going to talk a little bit. And then I'm going to just randomly pick people out of the audience to share. No, I wouldn't do that to you. Everybody's thinking, don't we have to go? But seriously, you know, we should be anxious to share our testimony. We should be looking for opportunities to share our testimony. Here a couple weeks ago, I just heard this phrase, and you guys have heard it before. It says, if you aren't being tested, you aren't developing your testimony. If there isn't something going on in your life that's building that testimony, then maybe you ought to stop and check. I had a friend years ago that worked at, he was one of the CEO big guys out of the mill. And he'd come by my little shop, which was about as big as this over here, and I'd be sweating and breathing dust and everything in there. And he'd come by and say, well, how's things going? And I'd mop myself off and say, oh, fine. How are you doing? He says, well, you know, I'm kind of bored because I've got so much vacation time. I don't know what to do. He had 4 months vacation time. And I'm thinking, for me to take a vacation, I needed to pay ahead to pay for the vacation and then work ahead to get that work out of the way and then hope when I came back, of course, I had to get the money somehow saved up to do it. And I resented this guy. I did. He'd go away, you know, and I'm thinking, 4 months? Wow. And I'd ask him, I said, well, how's everything going? Oh, great, you know, great, great, great. He's not building a testimony. His life was just like this. My life going like this. I was building a testimony. And I'm not today, but I've got testimonies. And it's not only when I first got saved. That's a glorious time. There's testimonies of life. Different things that go on. And that's what we should be looking forward to. We're called, and we'll kind of get into this just briefly. But we should be looking for opportunities to share our testimony. You know, just sitting here with this crowd, there are people that need to hear your testimony. People that need to hear that you've made it through that particular bump in the road successfully because of Christ. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. And we thank you for the opportunity to share your life with others. And as we get into this, Lord, I pray that you would come and fill me up, Lord. Fill us up with your Spirit. That we would be speaking your truth and be glorifying you in everything that we do. And we give you praise and honor for that, Lord. Amen. And just a note, I'm thinking our pastor is probably watching. He's like, where's my pen? You know, he's making notes. Hopefully he's resting, having some R&R, and he greatly needs it. So, anyway, I just want to be clear, because sometimes we get it mixed up, that God does not tempt us, right? He tests us. He doesn't test you. He doesn't tempt you with this sin to see what you're going to do with it. He tests us. And temptation is like being enticed, lured into sin. God doesn't do that. Testing, on the other hand, is God trusting us to make the right choice, and that's a big deal. So here comes the test. He trusts us with that. He's not going to give us more than we can handle, but he wants us to walk through that. Why? So that we can come out the other end and look back and be successful in that and be victorious in it and be able to share that with other people. If you're having trouble with your marriages or your finances or whatever, you go through these tests, you come out the other end. Or maybe you're going through it and you're saying, you know, I can do this. You get with somebody else that's having a really rough time, and you say, we can do this. God is with us. And I've got down, faithfulness in these tests are the road to the growth in His kingdom. That you grow when you do that. And God is saying, I trust you in this. We got to get that in our head. He's not going to overload us with something that we can't handle. He's handing that thing to you. He's not stepping back and going, we'll see how this goes. I feel that way sometimes in my life that I'm just, you know, one test after another. But God is doing that to cause me to grow, to be a better person than I was when I first got saved. Right? Okay. I got down here at James 4:7, and I didn't give it to you, but therefore submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee you. And in the midst of these trials that we come across, these tests, sometimes we just feel like we're overwhelmed. And I don't know about you, but these days seem to be that way. It seems to be that, I mean, we could probably go through this audience and what are you going through? What are you going through? I'm going through this. It's finances, it's trust, it's the world. It's all the different things that are going on right now, and we're in the thick of it for this moment. We're here for this moment. So I'm feeling in my spirit that we better get ready. We can't just sit and do nothing. We can't sit and watch someone in our body, our church body, suffer alone. I don't know, some of you guys probably got a text from pastors that said, who's with me? He wanted five guys to respond. Who's with me? And then those five guys go get five guys. Who's with me in this thing? The battle is not ours alone. It's the Lord's. We need to get people. You miss somebody, call them. I don't know if that's resonating with you. It's kind of not even in my notes, but I think that we need to really be aware of where everybody's at today, because a lot of people are suffering. There's people that are not here today because they're taking care of business somewhere. Something's going on in their life and they can't be here because of that. Okay? Second Peter. I think I did give you that one, didn't I? Second Peter 1, 3 through 4. His divine power has given us everything. Got that? Everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. I don't know about you, but every time I turn on the TV or drive my car or drive somewhere or listen to the radio, I'm getting inundated with lies and fraudulent stuff. It's just never ending. Buy a better car, buy a bigger house, get different kids. So God sets this test before us, and then He gives instructions how to get through it. He's right there with you. Do you feel that? You know, if this test is before you, you've got to come to the point you know that you're not alone. Again, God doesn't step back and just watch you to see how you're going to handle this thing. He's with you all the way through this thing. Our part is to be obedient and do it. And, you know, I used to jokingly, I think it's in James, it says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. You know, my mantra was, I'm tired of counting it joy. I'm just tired of these things. And I, when I would do that, I was missing the test. Because when I get in there, the first thing I say is, Lord, get me out. And then I miss the whole thing. I miss the whole instructions. I miss trusting. I miss seeing how he relates to me during that particular trial. And I've learned a little bit to say, okay, Lord, here I am in another one of these swales in my life. I need your help. I need for you to show me how to walk through this. Keep my spirit up. Keep my joy up so I'm heading in the right direction. So that when the time comes, I can look back and say, man, I did it. I got through that one. And then alongside of me comes another guy that's going through maybe the same thing. And I say, hey, God is with you. He'll help you through this thing. Find some scriptures. Find someone to pray with, to be with. Do not isolate. Everybody knows that is not what you want to do. And when we're, I've spent most of my Christian life dealing with drugs and alcohol things and all the street people and everything. Isolation. You do not want to isolate. And that's the first thing that people do. They get shamed, so they pull back. Say your kids are off the rails. Somebody comes up to you and says, how are your kids doing? Oh, they're fine. How are your kids doing? Just diverting the whole thing. And now you've isolated and you've pulled back and you're not getting any help from anybody because you don't want to put that out on the table. Part of it is you don't know what they're going to do with that information. So you got to pick the right people. But get some people on board that are going to help you. Okay? Here's just briefly that some years ago the Lord kind of gave me a vision about help, and I used to do a lot of hiking and things like that, and I was up at a high mountain meadow, and on either side were mountains, steep mountains and everything, and I was laying in the meadow and I was satisfied right there. Actually had my arms behind my back, laying on my back, and it was a nice breeze, and right at my feet was this rucksack full of all mountain gear, mountain climbing gear, ropes and pitons and carabiners and all the stuff that you needed to climb a mountain. But I was in the meadow and I'm going, I'm okay here. And the Lord showed up and he says, we're moving on. And in fact, that right there is where we're going. And my response was, let's go through that little valley over there. If we're moving, let's go through there. Because I could see the sun over there. This was a steep climb. And he said, you have everything in that backpack that you need to climb this mountain. You go this way and you're going to be off course by a long way. You go this way and you follow me and you'll be on course. And it really was a struggle with me. Said, this is, if I'm moving at all, that's where I want to go. And the Lord said, follow me. And if you've ever mountain climbed or if you've rock climbed or anything like that, they have a little chalk bag that's back in here. And where they climb, you can see where that person is put. They get chalk on their hands so they won't slip. They put there's a handhold. And that's what the Lord was saying. Just follow me. Put your hands where my hands were. Put your feet where my feet were, and you'll make it up. And you got all this equipment to do it. End of that vision, and it was the Lord saying, when you have these tests, follow me. I've given you everything, as it says right up here, I've given you everything that you need to climb the mountain. And that's where I want you to go. This other direction is not where I want you to go. That makes sense? You know the Lord is going to walk you through these times in Deuteronomy 31:6. This is one that you got to have on your refrigerator. The Lord himself goes before you. He will be with you. Does it say that up there? Deuteronomy 31:6. Anyway, he will never leave you nor forsake you. So don't be afraid or discouraged. That's one that should be on the refrigerator, right? Every time you get up, don't be discouraged. The Lord is with you. And then with this testimony, we go through these trials. We know the Lord is with us. And we get some victory out of it. Now the Lord is saying, give me praise. Share your testimony with others. You look at David's life, and I'm kind of reading through Psalms and everything, and he does that quite often. You know, he'll kind of complain about his life a little bit, like we all do, but then he'll calm down. You can almost tell where he takes a breath and goes, but I'm going to praise you, Lord. You are good. You are faithful. You're my rock. You're my stronghold. You're where I can run to for safety. And then he calls on the people. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, I think. But he says, here's David's Psalm 68:6. I didn't give it to you, but bless our God. He's talking to the people. This is after whatever David has gone through. He says, bless our God, O people. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. And then it continues on, and a little bit later it says, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. He's standing before the people, whatever that was. I don't know what that situation was, but he's encouraging them by telling them what has happened to him. That's a testimony. This is what's happened to me. I want to share that with you so that you'll start to recognize that God is with you. He's not going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. This is, where I'm at personally, this is really important right now. Because we get in this frump, what I call it, is it's just like weighing down. I can't get out of this thing. I don't know if it's finances or kids or jobs or relationships or whatever it is. We just start weighing down and weighing down. Pretty soon you're inactive and you're not participating in the kingdom anymore. You're not going to church. You're not doing the things that God has called you to do. And you're out of the loop. And in that case, that's where Satan just goes, done with him. I don't have to worry about that guy. He's just sitting at home watching Oprah. Or she's not on anymore, I guess. I don't know. I don't watch it. I don't watch it. So, in Revelations 12:11, it says, this is so cool. You guys recognize this. And they overcame him. This is the accuser of the brethren. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death. Isn't that pretty cool? The blood of the Lamb and their testimony. That's the victory right there. Our testimony of victory needs to be shared from the rooftops. It defeats the accuser of the brethren. Do you see that? When you speak the truth about your life, you're defeating the enemy who brings lies and everything that he's bringing towards you. I mean, we could go through, we could raise our hands, guy. I got a lie that the enemy is telling me right now. And you speak the truth and that lie goes away. Does that make sense? It says it right here. Speak the truth. Your testimony. That's why the enemy does not want you to do that. We should be, and I'm talking to myself, we should be ready for testimony all the time. Where you go to the market, you go to the gas station, you go wherever, look for that door that's going to open. Wherever you go. When I first got saved, I was really doing that. I was so excited about getting out of the life that I had, which was a lot, that I didn't, once I got out of that, I looked back and I couldn't believe that I was there. But now I want to share that with people. I don't care who it was, the guy behind the counter. Hey, you got a minute? I want to tell you what God has done for me. Now as I've grown through life and got more mature, I don't do that anymore. Why? Am I not excited about what God did for me back then so much? I should be doing that all the time, looking for opportunities. And our pastor is a good example of how he looks for opportunities. It's throughout the day. So I challenge you to do that. Defeats the accuser of the brethren, brings glory to God, right? That's ultimately what Christ would want, is everything that you do bring glory to Him. Encourages others to gain victory in their life by defeating the enemy and bringing glory to God. Encourages others. And you never know what sharing your testimony will be for someone. It's in that. I look for opportunities. The guys at the gas station, this was some years ago, the guys at the gas station, he's frumping around, pouring, doing the gas. And I said, having a bad day? Oh, every day's a bad day. And I said, well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, yeah, whatever. You know, I'm just waiting for the little crack. And I said, well, here's the deal. It was back when people didn't have jobs so much. And I said, you have a job. Probably making $10 an hour. Yeah. I said, work really, really hard. Maybe you'd be the guy inside there taking the money. And, you know, people buying candy and stuff. You'll be that guy. Maybe you'll be the manager someday. You got a job, man. Pick it up. And I thought, you know, we need to be doing that a lot. Just inserting these things. Saying, you know, I was in your spot at one time. And here's what God did for me. And I've got that testimony. Had nothing. And God said, hey, this is what you're going to do. Briefly, is I didn't know that I could build woodworking things. I built these contraptions of entryways, nearly as big as that door. Two side lights, two doors, big transom, leaded and beveled glass, and shipped them all over the United States for a while. And when I first started, God gave me some wood and said, build a birdhouse. Oh yeah, I'm going to get rich doing that. Pay all the bills building birdhouses. Woodpecker, sparrow, you know, all that different things. Be obedient and God will bring you along. Show you how to do this thing. Listen to this. You guys have heard this before. Next time you feel you aren't worthy or comfortable sharing what God has done, think of these folks. Did these people ever have a testimony or what? How about Noah? And this is kind of a joke, but it says Noah was a drunk. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Abraham was old. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Isaac was a daydreamer. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair and is a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Peter denied Christ. Paul was too religious. And Lazarus was dead. I mean, when you think about what that guy did when he came back, he says, I got to tell people what happened to me today. There's a testimony. So you think about these people and what they went through. They weren't shying away from that. They're excited about what God just did for them. And they're telling other people what God just did for them. I'm almost done. So, because we want to have some testimonies today. Here's what Billy Graham said. He's quoted. Oh, I got another scripture here. Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's what you're doing when you're sharing your life with others. And Billy Graham is quoted as, he says, your story is the key that can unlock someone else's prison. Okay? Only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, a victim into a victory. Your testimony is the story of your encounter with God and what role He has played throughout your life. You've got to be sharing this stuff with people, your neighbor, your in-laws, and you know that. What God is bringing you through right now will be the testimony that will bring someone else through. The unbelieving world should see our testimony lived out daily because it just may point them to the Savior. I'm kind of wondering about my life. Does my life look different than it was before? And I think so. But there's still areas of my life that don't look that way. You know, Saturday afternoon, do I look like a Christian? Always? I don't know. When I'm driving down the road, somebody cuts me off and I start to do the thing. It's happened. I don't even know where that comes from. I was driving down here by Roseburg, going to California one time, and I was singing Praise to Jesus, and the guy, truck driver, cuts me off. And right in the middle of Praise God, I'm going, where did that come from? And the guy, I probably got an ichthus on my bumper, and I'm a Christian. We got to be careful about that. You raise your hand and you say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christ follower. Better be doing it because people are watching you, right? So we've got some volunteers that I sort of asked them to volunteer to come up and share their testimony. And we'll just kind of see how this goes. We've got plenty of time. So Mr. Mike's going to come up and share his testimony. Hello, Helm.
Hello, Helm.
There you go.
I could probably stand up here for 2 or 3 hours and tell you things that's happened in my life. I mean, and I stopped, and Bob mentioned this the other day, and me and Sharon had just been talking a few weeks before that, how testimonies lifted us up. I mean, how good it feels to hear these things. Well, I've got three things I'm going to start with. One of them is my wife. 8 years ago, I was up at Eugene, standing in the hospital. A doctor walked up and told me she had the worst cancer you could possibly get. You know what that feels like? You vomit. I have some sisters and a brother and all kinds of family that are grandpeople, grandkids. And there she is. And praise God. She still fixes my dinner, makes the bed and all that. So another thing that's going on here is, where's Charlie Jones? There he is, standing right there. About, I don't know how many years ago, me and him and Jacob Jones' dad was at a men's retreat over at Willow Creek. And I think there was approximately about 300 men in this building. And they were singing praises to God. And boy, pretty soon it's just amazing. I mean, I give up and I finally just sit down on the chair and I could hear this music and it just kept on and on and on. And finally it dawned on me that there was something really going on here. And it was a kind of worship I'd never heard before. And it was absolutely just amazing and I was just petrified in it. Well, there was all kinds of things went on at this meeting, but when it was over and we left, I never heard that again. And I wish Brian and his wife was here. Well, there's one of them over there. Their daughter, Amy, they were sitting up here one day, and we were sitting back there, and I don't even remember the song we were singing, just normal worship. And I was getting kind of carried away, and I was bent over in the chair there, just in my own little world, and I heard that music again. And I thought, what is going on? Am I going to die? I'm falling on the floor? What's happening? Pretty soon I got to listen, and I could really hear it amongst the other worship that was going on. It was that little girl. She was laying there across the seats like that. Her mom and dad is standing up, and she was just laying there playing. And that music was coming out of that little girl. I told Brian about it a long time ago. But to me, that was just a glorious thing that happened to me. Okay, I got one more thing that's happened. I raised four girls and a boy. Three of the girls are serving the Lord, one of them's not, the boy's not. And I've been a Christian for so many years, I can't hardly remember how long it's been. But there's things happen to these kids. My youngest daughter, Jill, these two's mother, has always had an angel with her. She can tell you about it, and you know that it's a fact. And I always thought, boy, I'd like to have something like that. You know, I've just, people get healed, all this kind of things happens to them, and I'm thinking, boy, that'd be so neat. And you go on through your life, and I see good things happen to them, all this kind of stuff, and it's really great. And here last summer, we have a kind of a garden area that the deer play in and nothing grows in. And we had to water it. We have a spring down there to pump in it, and it waters it. And I know I walked by the, I was walking down to it. It's a couple hundred yards down there. And two of the kids is over here jumping on the trampoline. And I'm walking along, and I have not a thought in the world about God. Nothing. I mean, I'm just going down there to turn the water on. And I'm walking along, and all of a sudden, somebody's here beside me. I had the experience I wanted to have right there. I couldn't see any face. And it was just, I could only see somebody from about here up. They kind of had their back to me. And it was just one of the neatest experiences I ever had. It was like Bob said. And I never, since then, I've never had any doubt that God's not with me.
Amen.
All the time. And I think that's what he was showing me. Is here I am going to turn the water on to a garden that's not going to grow nothing and make a difference. He's still right here with me.
Amen. Amen.
And I could talk all day about this, but I'll give somebody else a chance.
Thanks, Mike. Where's Miriam? Where? Well, there she is. You're up.
Morning. He said he wanted me to talk for 5 or 10 minutes, so I was born in 1950. Yeah. Actually, to tell you a little bit about my personality, I was born at high noon, and the doctor had to run across the room to catch me. I was ready to come into this world, and let's see, the thing he wants me to talk to you about, that he's a God that hears and that he is ever-present everywhere. And when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, he lives in you. The Holy Spirit is always there. And so when you want his presence, you say, God, I want you to give me a visitation. Well, he's already there. But his manifest presence is a different story. And that's what you were talking about. So when I was 8, I was raised as a little Lutheran girl. I went to parochial school, and we were there every time the church doors were open. We were there. And every morning we had to stand next to our desk and recite this prayer that I thought was absolute garbage, and I was tired of doing it. So I said, God, I don't want to do this anymore unless you're real. So I was standing there praying, and all of a sudden I felt something land on me. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. And so I decided to open my eyes, and there was a whirling of gold just going all around me. And I was, like, terrified, and I thought this was just, am I going to pass out? What's going on? And then I realized it was him. He is the God that hears. So there was the 8-year-old, wanted to know, didn't want to do anymore, being rebellious, and he was, in his love and his mercy, he showed me that he heard me. So Everything wasn't perfect from that day forward, although I've carried that experience with me forever. And there are many experiences where I know we've all had, where we've had near-death experiences, car accidents, bad birthing experiences. I've had them all. It's like I've had a contract against me that Satan wanted to destroy me because he knew I was special.
Amen.
I'm his favorite. But God is the one who can have all of you as his favorite. You are all special. You are all made to do something very, very well. Maybe just one thing. Maybe five. Maybe 20. I don't know. But I'm just listening. And he has prepared you. He has everything prepared for you. I was talking to Sue just about an hour ago, and she was talking about we all have a tool belt, and it's there, but is it loaded? Have you got your nail gun? Have you got your hammer? Have you got your tape measure? And how do you get ready? How do you get those tools? You spend time with him, and you are quiet, and you just give him that hour of your time. You give him that hour of your life, and you listen, and he equips you. And I want to encourage you that he is the God that hears. So I had this little experience happen to me. I went to town, and I shared this at the Women's Bible Study, so some of you have heard it. My feet hurt. My feet hurt all the time, and I can't walk very well without pain, but I just do it anyway. Don't we all? Just keep walking. Anyway, I had ordered shoes, and they weren't right. I sent them back, so I went to Marshall's, and the first shoe I picked up, I tried it on, and my feet don't hurt. So that was a love letter from God. To me, that was a very special love letter from God, because now I'm not in pain. Amen. Same day I went to Salvation Army, my favorite store, and I have wanted drawers in this little section to put all my pots and pans in. And so I was talking to Ron about building me boxes, and he doesn't like to do complicated things that I want him to do. And so he was kind of dragging his feet. And I said, just two boxes. That's all I want. And I'll figure out how to do the drawer slidey things, and I'll put them in, and we'll work it out. We can do this, you know. And he's just going, I don't think so. And walked into Salvation Army, and there were those drawers. They were all metal. They were all $12. And that was another love letter from God. Mm-hmm. He's the God that hears. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you think he's not hearing you and he's not there. Amen. Yeah. Who's next?
Thank you. Mr. Tom, that'd be you.
Am I tall enough? Hey, so I got.
What?
Do what? Stand. Oh, stand up. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody? Yeah. So I got saved when I was 20. But before that, there was a lot of things that happened. You know, there was fruit. And my parents were, I never wasn't really raised in a Christian home, but I had a grandmother that had become a Christian. She was became Christian like late in her life, like late fifties. And that's about the time I was born. So anyway, we lived in Coos Bay, And she'd come and get me and my sister, Jill, and take us to church. Little Tommy's got his little clip-on bow tie, and, you know. So we'd get in her T-Bird, 1960 T-Bird, Mike. Oh, yeah. And Jill would sit in front. She's older. I sit in the back. And then her grandma said, put your seatbelt on. But ADD, before ADD was a thing, I think I had
it.
You
got it.
Yeah, I still got it. Grandma drives. The way she drives, it was gas, brakes. It was just like nothing in between, you know. So I just remember flying through the front. I'm on the floor. The little bow tie is off the side, you know. And but she took us to church. She took us. There was fruit. There were seeds planted. And we moved over here to Myrtle Creek, and she was right behind us. Pretty much about a year later, she moved to, and we back to church here at the Assembly of God. Of course, I really didn't accept any of it that much. You know, I kind of rejected it all. I didn't care, whatever. And then we went through the teenage high school riot years. I think I really got fed up with that at some point. And at 20, I get saved. Go at the Assembly of God here. And I just remember coming out of that church floating on air, you know. And I was excited. I wanted to tell people, like you're talking about, Bob. Because I didn't have any wisdom to go with that. But I had the energy. I remember, you know, I smoked and drank and smoked pot. And my parents were gone on vacation. And they came back like 4 or 5 days after I'd gotten saved. And I sat them down. I said, you guys need to get saved. And they both looked at me. And I wasn't smoking cigarettes. They looked at me and they, is this our son? You know? Anyway, I think today, I'm missing a little bit of that excitement like you're talking about. But the wisdom's better, you know. I know more about the Bible. And I think what I tell myself is that I have to tell them. I need to tell people. And that's about, and that's the first calling, isn't it? Go out in the world and preach the gospel. So yeah. We just got to look for that opportunity.
Yeah, amen.
And it can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen a lot.
All right. Amen. Susie? Come on up. Where do you want to be? Over here? You going to get up on down there? One more.
I'd get a little bit higher up since I'm so short. So, when Bob first gave me a call and said, you know, I want you to do this, I went, what? And I really couldn't think of anything, you know, testimony-wise. I was like, I'm drawing a blank. And the Lord just, as I was praying through the week, I'm like, Lord, what do I talk about? And so I'll try and condense everything. Mm-hmm. I grew up born and raised in a Christian family. Went to Assembly of God in Grants Pass, and didn't think much about it through my teen years. Eventually stopped going to church and went out into the world and just kind of did my own thing and looked for love in all the wrong places, literally. But I really wanted I had this emptiness deep inside me, and nothing I did ever filled it. And one day, I think my daughter was in kindergarten, so I was sitting at home and I was watching soap operas because that's what I did back then. And they did an episode where this lady was demon possessed, and it scared the living daylights out of me, and I dropped to my knees and I said, God, I need you. I can't live my life without you anymore. And that kind of started that journey back to the Lord. Of course, it wasn't perfect. I did backslide a couple times. But God is faithful. He is ultimately very faithful. And in 2008, I almost died. My gallbladder almost exploded. And I was literally a day from dying, they told me, in the hospital. If I hadn't, I was being stubborn about it. I didn't want to, because of medical expenses, I didn't want to go. And I had been in a period where I was backslidden, and I was really scared when I was in the hospital. And I was in the hospital at Mercy for a week. And I just remember how scared I was of going into surgery, that I was going to die and then I was going to go to hell because I had been backslidden. And one morning, Fred called me. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning, and he says, it's snowing. And it was almost Christmas time. And he's like, it's snowing. I thought you might want to see it. And so I got up and I opened the curtain, and the street lights, it was really beautiful. And I had some instrumental music on, and there was this one, just a piano instrumental that spoke volumes to me. God used it to bring me back to him. And so I was in this dark room, and I was put this music on, and I just, it was like, Lord, I'm scared. And he met me there. I didn't see him physically, but his presence filled the room. And he wrapped his arms around me. And that experience, it's been more than 10 years now, but that experience has stayed with me to this very day. And I just want you to know, God is faithful, you guys. He really is. And he always, he never lets us go.
Got it? Go one more, and then, yeah. Still on.
These are hard, not acts, but hard testimonies to follow. I've got quite a testimony myself. Deals with women and rock and roll and drugs, a life that my father introduced me to at a very young age. But before that, I wanted to cover me as being a theologian. I class myself as a theologian, spent thousands of hours in the book. I wanted to give you a really quick rundown of what the Word says about the what's and the whys of why you need to have your testimony. The what and why, we won't have to turn there for lack of time. We've got 15 minutes or so. In Matthew 28, Jesus tells us to go and make disciples. So who is he talking to? He's talking to us. That is us if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's not talking to the world because the world doesn't need to hear about the sex, drugs, and rock and roll and the lures of it. That's the devil's plan. So Christ is addressing us as saviors. So to make what? What are we supposed to be doing with that testimony? To make disciples, right? Go and make disciples. So you make the disciples by using your testimony of how the Lord drew you out of that situation and those deals, and how people can reason within themselves, like Bob was saying, that, hey, if God would do that for him, why would he not do that for me? So the reasoning process starts going on through your testimony. And the reason why you want to do this in your life is because in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about build yourselves up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not destroy. So you get to thinking about that. Well, how can I send my cash to heaven so that when I do get to heaven, I've got these treasures? Well, with God, it doesn't work that way. God's ways are opposite of what we think in our mind and our ways of how to transport treasures. So the treasure that you get, you receive, the Bible tells you that you receive a crown. Paul talks about that I fought this fight, I've run the race, and I'll receive a crown. And not only me, but whoever follows after Christ receives this crown. So you will receive a crown, granted that you were born again. And let's say there's different crowns or different jewels you receive in your crown by the things that you do here on the earth by faith. It's all by faith. So by faith, when you're saved, you're baptized. Your baptism is it's like a ring. It won't mean nothing unless you honor that. Unless you walk the life of this world, bringing honor to God. So when you die and you receive your crown, and you've been faithful, that jewel lights up. And when you share your testimonies, when you go out and you witness to people, you march in the streets carrying your Jesus banners, or whatever you're doing for God to spread the word, is bettering your treasures in heaven. Let's see where I got kind of going over this pretty quick though. The crown you get, you can find that in 2 Timothy 4 verse 8. If anybody was, and I encourage you to find out how many crowns there are by searching those out. It'll help you to think, well, how can I polish up that jewel in my crown? And quick note, yeah, we still got good time. The reasoning for your crowns. It's not so that you walk around and say, look at me, because that's not heaven. But the Bible tells you about a time when you're given an opportunity. I don't know if it's exactly at the marriage supper of the Lamb or when it is, but I do know that it will be. You're given a chance to take what you've earned so hard in your life, hopefully through years of trials and tribulations and temptations. And you take this beautiful crown that you have and you cast it at Christ's feet. So now I'm no different than Charles Spurgeon when we go and walking down the streets of gold. If it wouldn't be for that casting crowns, I'd be like this, Charles Spurgeon. Or anybody else that is the great name, Billy Graham or who you name it. Now we're level at the cross. And nobody knows what I did my life throughout this walk, except the one who received that crown. Amen. And Christ knows. And that's, to me, that's heaven. So the Bible says that Christ gives it as an example in Matthew. God gives us well, three examples. He gives a talent, one talent to a guy, two talents to another, five talents to another. I don't know, you know the story. The one that had one, what did he do with it? Anybody know?
Hit it.
He buried it. He took his testimony or his whatever, and he buried it because he didn't want to lose his salvation. I knew, he said, his answer was, I knew you're a hard man, and I didn't want to lose that salvation. So I hid it. And God says, you had the opportunity to share your testimony, to make that tenfold, if you would have just opened your mouth and talked. Same thing for us. We have our testimony, and we need to share it. Don't hide it. Don't bury it. Let it out. Let it out for people that are in trouble. Not for us here to look at and say, man, you went through a lot, or you came through bunches. I don't care about that. We shouldn't care about that. It's when you go out there and you see people that are down and out and they're struggling with drugs and addictions. Those are the people you need to go up to and say, hey, you know what? I used to be in the same shoes you were in. And boy, I tell you, mine testimony real quick here. When I was a mom and dad split up when I was 3. I lived with my mom until I was 10. I moved in with my dad when I was 10, 11. And my dad was a drug dealer. Not a big-time drug dealer, but we definitely had our fun. To this day, I like marijuana. The smell, the taste, the effects. But don't get me wrong, it's been 40 years since I've been high. When I'm high, I can see my eyes work. Right now, I'm colorblind. But when I used to get high, I just like to sit around and look at trees, and I have a good time. But God had different plans for me. When I was 15, 16, my brother fell in love with a little Mormon girl. And when I would, my brother stayed living with my mom the whole time. So when I would go on the weekend visits, my brother and I would go to her church. Well, my father had a very limited education in the Bible. He heard that the Mormonism was a cult. He didn't want his son or his son that stayed loyal to him to be a part of a cult. So that caused him, praise God, to open this book. Find out what this is about. So he did that. And between weekends, I would have both sides of the issue. And I think that was what God was dealing with me on. I want you to know this book. So we got into a lot of heavy theological debates about who Christ is, who God is, what the plan is, and how Mormonism differs from the true religion of what the Bible teaches. We'll go into that issue now. Long story short, got together with my brother and I said, you know, there's something about this Jesus Christ that we had no idea, because our nightly prayers were, now I lay me down to sleep. We believed in God, but we didn't know who he was. I told my brother, something about this seems to be all hinging around this person, Jesus Christ. So let's find out more about him. So we did. Opened my eyes. Pretty soon I find out that this book says, you know, I don't want to have you high when I come back. I say, Danny, are you high? Can't lie to that man. Well, yes, Lord, I am. I feel pretty bad about it. So out went that habit. So I can use that testimony now for people that I do search for them. I'm with Core Ministries. It's a community evangelical outreach. We do all the parades from border to border. They've been shut down now since COVID, but I missed that part. But you're given an opportunity to intermingle with the people that are still lost. And that's mainly what our testimony is for, it's not bragging rights, it's helping rights to get out there in the world and go alongside of those people that you don't want to associate with as far as what they're into, but they don't know what you have. They don't know that they can be pulled out of, and they don't have to have that thing in their life.
Amen.
So use your testimony.
Amen. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Dan. How are we doing? Okay? So you have a few more that would like to share. I don't know what time we're kind of okay. I just want to encourage you. Not everybody's going to get to share, that's for sure, but your testimony is what's in here. It's something that no one can take away from you. And just by being, you're showing a testimony. And I'm just going to... Hello? One of the two has got to go on. Hello? There we go. Am I on? Yeah. So anyway, when I first got saved, I'm not going to share a testimony, but I'm going to encourage you that just by being and being Christ-like, people get saved. When I used to go down to the cell block down in the jails, and these guys were all in long cells down there, about four guys in each, and we would go in there and ask who wanted to get out and talk about Jesus. Well, nobody wanted to talk about Jesus, but they wanted to get out. So they'd all go down there, and they'd put us in a little 8x8 room and lock the key and take the phone off the hook so that they were killing us, they could hear. And so we'd go in there, and there's just a bare bulb up there, and I'd play music, just some songs that I had written and things like that. And I started, and they were personal songs, so I started singing these songs, and there was everybody sitting on the floor because there's no chairs except for ours, and God showed up. I'm just singing a song. We're not preaching. We're not doing anything. We're not asking God to show up. We're not doing anything, but God showed up. And this whole room turned kind of a creamy yellow. And I'm just hardly getting through the song. The guy that's sitting over here is squirming. He's sitting on the floor, and he's looking at his hands. He's got emphysema really, really bad. He's looking at jaundice, which turns your eyes real yellowish and your skin yellowish. And he's looking at his hands, and I was looking at his hands too. They looked like baby's hands. His fingernails were shiny. His palms were pink. I mean, he was like a new person over there. And he's looking at him, and he's going, you know, a lot of bad words in those places. But he says, you know, what's going on here? What are you guys doing that's making this happen to me? And another guy goes, I don't know, but I can breathe. And he's the guy with emphysema. And he's taking deep breaths. He's going, I can breathe. I don't know what are you guys doing? And I didn't really know what we were doing. We just showed up. See, we just did what God asked us to do, to show up. And this is when I first got saved, to show up and share my life with others, and I'll do the rest. These guys were getting saved and healed right then, right there. The other guy he was from New York, and he didn't believe, he thought it was a scam. He said, this whole thing's a scam, and he was doing that. But these two guys got saved and got healed just because I showed up and did what God asked me to do by singing a couple songs that were something. And that was something that was inside me. That's where your testimony is. It's something that's inside you that nobody can deny. They can say, I don't believe you. Well, fine, but that's in me. That's what God has done for me. So it's noon. Are we okay for one or two more? I got him. You're first. And then, you might still want to do it? And, okay.
Well, I've got to say that I haven't known of a time in my life that God hasn't been pursuing me. Because I didn't look for him, but he looked for me and he found me. My first experience that I can remember and think of, I was only 3 years old when my grandfather died. My mom told me later on what I had said. I can still see the picture of the angels. And I asked my mom, why is everybody crying here at my grandfather's funeral? Can't they see the angels there to comfort them? Why aren't they comforted? That was my first experience that I know that God was there and was he was looking after me for something. I didn't know what he wanted me to do, but he was after me. When I was 7, I wanted a black and white puppy. Our dog had all of her puppies. When I went to bed that night, I prayed, God, I want a little black and white puppy. We got up the next morning. There was a little black and white puppy. The vet said, well, it's not unheard of, but it's not common. Yeah, well, it was, to me, it was God-answered prayer. Another time, when my daughter had a, she went into a diabetic coma. And we prayed for her, and I called a couple people I knew in different churches to pray for her. We got up there to the hospital there in Umatilla. The doctor says, I have never seen anybody, this brain dead, come back again. I just can't understand it. I just shouted, praise the Lord. And he kind of looked at me like, but there was nothing he could say. I says, we have people praying for her. That's why she's still here. And it was a long struggle for her, and I wish I could say that God had a hold of her, but she's still in his hands. And then I wanted to share my scripture. In Psalms 73, my granddaughter died in a house fire. And I was devastated. She had a little boy that just turned a year old, her youngest one. And I got out my Bible and I was crying. And God, I just, show me something here in your word to comfort me. And in verse 16, it says, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. He was in control. It was his reason. I didn't have to understand it or know it. I just had to trust him. And verse 21 says, thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. 23, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterwards receive me to glory. To me, that was God confirming the fact that he was there with me. He was hanging on and that I was going to be with her in glory someday because I knew she was a Christian. But I still felt that my flesh and my heart were failing. But God is the strength of my heart and of my position forever. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. And to this day, I cannot go a day by that I don't see something from God, some blessing that he's there. He's looking after me. He's still in control. And he keeps me going.
I have a couple more, and then probably ought to wrap it up. We might be here all day.
I do. My name's Doreen McKissick.
Hi.
I was born yesterday, but not yesterday. And I have a
I get it.
Amount.
Okay.
I was raised on a farm. I had a father that was very strict. I was raised in Oakland, Oregon. My mom became sick when I was 3. I had 8 brothers and sisters. When I was 11, my mother fell on Thanksgiving Day, and she never walked again. I had 6 years between me and my older sister and 6 years between my younger sister. But I also had 3 baby brothers and sisters. The youngest was 15 months old. Okay? I was put in this world young. I worked from the time I was 11 years old. Went to school half a day. Got off school half a day. And made sure I was home before the younger babies got home so the state wouldn't take them. Okay? Got married at 15 years old. Okay? Married a man that's quite a bit older than me to get out of the situation of where I lived because my dad moved us into his mistress's family's home. And she had a brother that was taking advantage of me. So I married the band leader's son that happened to be the most wonderful man I ever knew. He was the best piece of life I ever had. We got married, and he taught me a different world, except one thing. 6 months after we were married, he was killed over in Vietnam. Okay? Then I met my children's father that was a drug dealer. Didn't know he was drug dealing. Didn't have no clue until he introduced me to it. Okay? I became the biggest dealer from Portland to Jalisco, Mexico. My children didn't know about it because it never did it around them. In 1997, there was an awakening in me. I'd been over to tie my shoe. I was walking down the street with two other girls. Been over to tie my shoe, and they blew my best friend's head off. I was standing beside me. God told me, don't look back, Doreen. Just keep walking. That day, I turned my life around and gave it to Jesus. Okay? Well, when I did, I ended up in one of the most notorious drug murder cases you ever seen. My family didn't know where I was for 7 years. In that 7 years, I worked in a mission that taught me about love, taught me about God. Taught me about his vision of hope when there was none. So I was a key witness in this. They flew me from Texas to this murder trial, and I was their number one witness. And I put the men away that killed that girl. Okay? They flew me home. I hadn't seen my children in 7 years. When I left my children, they were short and chunky. When I walked up to Stewart Park, there was this kid standing there with his arm outstretched like this. And I said, they sure didn't make up like that when I was young. Turned around, it was my son. He pulled the other one out of the tree and brought Chelsea to me. That day, I've been clean ever since, 1997. I went to work at Crossroads. And when I did, I was one that checked them in. Got a chance to meet all the children, their parents that I dealt to. It was second generation drug dealers. There was one little girl that came in. She had a box with her. I got to look at her, and I thought, all right. And then I recognized her. I said, Sabrina? She said, Aunt Dodie? I said, yeah. She said, know who's in this box? This is my mom. I brought her to drug treatment with me. But she didn't get a chance to go. And there was this other little woman in the office who said, was giving her all kinds of heck. I turned and looked at her and said, excuse me? Is this my job? Is this my position? She said, yeah. I said, it's crowded over here. Don't you think you better go do your position? I looked at her and I said, well, did you bring her to treatment to go through it with you, baby? She said, yeah. I said, let me have your box. I said, I'm going to put it up here until the main supervisor come back on Monday. I said, she's welcome here, honey. And you can do this. All you got to do is have the faith of a mustard seed. You can do this. I said, faith is something you believe in, whether you see it or not. All you got to know is every time you doubt that God's got his arms around you and this is nothing more than love. I said, and when you think you're going to run, you run right up front office here where I'm at. And we'll pray you through it. And this girl starts, I said, did I make myself clear the first time? She said, yeah. 2 weeks later, that little girl's mother was sitting on her dresser in her room. That little girl now works up in Salem at one of the biggest treatment centers that she started. I've worked the streets for a long time with the homeless, with the ones that didn't have no hope, that didn't know who Jesus was. And you know what? I'll continue to do it every day. God has given me the miracle of love, and I'm going to share it wherever I'm at with whomever, whether they like it or not. And sometimes you get the reception of, well, who do you think you are? And I said, I'm an ambassador with a sword. That's who I am. And that's what he's about. When he gives you that key and you save, he saves you, he expects you to draw that sword. I'm going to tell you something, people. In these days and times, you better hope we're united together. You better hope we know that that's the love that we need. Because you know why? That's what we have, is each other. And the ones that are out there, you want to pray every day, the ones that don't know him to know him, the ones that know him to know him better. Because God's nothing more than love. If he could change me from riding with Hell's Angels 15 years, he could change anybody. Nice to meet you.
You got Nancy back there? No. I think we're done. This has been a good day. Awesome. Thanks for your participation. And I don't know, is this on?
Hello?
Yeah. So if that stirs you up, it should. Everybody's got a different testimony. It's all yours personally. And it's a little bit of a challenge to do something with it, not just keep it in. All the different occupations, all the different things that we do throughout the week, we're all different. And we all have I call it a sphere of influence. This is what you can influence in your life. And I kind of picture it as we all overlap a little bit. But in your sphere of influence, look for those opportunities. Look for an opportunity to share with somebody, your neighbor or kids or whoever, because that's what we're supposed to do. We've heard it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. It's not just work. It's not just going to school or whatever we do. We're ambassadors for Christ. And some of us have a what should we call it, colorful testimony. Some of us don't, but they all, that sphere of influence is God's going to put you in a place to influence those people that where he's put you. And it's very, very, very important. God showed me a picture years ago down the coast. I don't know where it was, Winchester Bay. There was a jetty running out there, and they positioned the bells out there, the buoys, to bring people in from the ocean and come into the harbor. And up here is a lighthouse. Right behind me was a lighthouse. And the Lord told me, he says, you're one of those buoys out there. And I looked at it, and I was banging around and seagulls crapping on it and everything else, you know, and I'm thinking, thanks a lot. Why can't I be the lighthouse? You know, I want to be the pretty guy up in the hill. He said, the buoys are, I put them in a particular place to bring people in. Foggy, miserable weather out there. If the buoys aren't in exactly the position that they need to be in, they'll crash on the rocks. They see the big lighthouse. Maybe the lighthouse is a church. I don't know. But they're coming in. But once they get in close, they're tuning into those buoys. And God is telling us all, I put you in a particular place for a particular reason at a particular time. And I need you there. I need for you to be clanging around and bringing the people in. There's millions of people that are lost out there that need to come into the harbor. And you need to be doing your part. Be a buoy. It's not real classy, you know. But that's the idea. As God puts you in a position right now for a particular reason, let's be doing that. So, yeah, it's just part of the deal. I guess they come out and clean those things off every now and then, but I don't know. Well, let's pray, and I just want to, as we're praying, if there's anybody here that this has touched their heart, and maybe you don't have a relationship with the Lord right now, and you would like that. You'd like to be, maybe you're building your testimony right now, and this is the time for you to make that decision to come to the Lord, like a lot of us have. And we all came through this, you know, we're out there in the ocean banging around and we're coming in and we got into a safe harbor where Christ is and we got saved. We changed our life to a whole different dimension. If you're still out there banging around, if you're still out there lost, this is the day for you. So let's give everybody some privacy right now. I'm going to just open that up. If there's anybody out there that just raise your hand. If this is the day for you to make a decision to follow the Lord, then I just pray that you raise your hand right now and we'll pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if there's any of us that we feel like we need the unction to be sharing our testimony a little bit more. Just raise your hand that God would give you that unction, that ability, that drive to be more aggressive out there sharing His life. If this is a day for you to make that decision, then I just raise your hand up and I see your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I think my hand's up. I got to raise my hand up because I don't do it like I should. I go to the grocery store and I just buy my stuff and go home. But it's not about the stuff. It's about the Lord. So let's pray real quick. Father, we give you this day. We give you this time. It's been awesome listening to testimonies. And everybody's different. Everybody is different. But you see our heart, Lord. And you know where we come from and where we're going. And Lord, our desire right now, our desire is to share your life with more people, with our neighbors, with our bosses, with our kids, with whoever, Lord. Help us to see those open doors and take advantage of them. Help us to be walking in your footsteps and climbing those steep mountains, Lord, that you've already prepared for us to enter into your kingdom and your glory. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us. You'll never forsake us. You'll always be with us. And we thank you for all of that. Thank you for this day, Lord. Pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys.